Hello, grandkids. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 312. With me this week, not enjoying a beverage from Goose Island, is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm feeling pretty good. About three ghetto blasters into the evening, so this should be an all right show. I mean, I know it's not going to be quite a Ric Flair with Kevin Sullivan last week, if anyone caught that, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, when you first sent me a message about that, I'm like, ah, never mind. I'll let him figure it out. I guess I've never done a drunk show, but I always do want I do want to do one at some juncture. Like it needs to happen at a WrestleMania or something of that nature.
Maybe we could watch like a really bad TNA or Global Force Wrestling show, and that'd be more fun.
Since you bring the topic
up,
yeah,
we're gonna do this, but we might as well now.
Yep, it's all your fault. And this is what happens when you make bad decisions with Ghetto Blasters. You were starting to tell me something before we started about the Global Force that I didn't even realize. Like, I have heard Jeff Jarrett talk on consecutive impacts and not gotten any sense of what he wants to accomplish. Like, and Mike Tenay and Karen Jarrett just sit there and nod their heads, and well, and then Karen pretends like she knows something, too. But then just, she says a bunch of words. But that's all that it is. It's just saying words.
He has no vision. He has no talent. He has no creative vision. He has no great new talent that he's going to expose to the world. I don't even know what this is supposed to be anymore. They're doing less than 500 people at 5,000 seat ballparks all across the across the country. They're killing that, you know. And there's a number of promotions who've been able to do successful ballpark, you know, indie shows, bringing in big names. But apparently, these Global Force shows are doing so terrible that it's getting around the minor league baseball industry that they don't even want to do it. They may not even want to do business with wrestling anymore. They're already killing other people's business now.
Okay, that is the part that I had not heard, and that's just, it's hilarious, and I'm not surprised. Like, I'm not quite sure, like, I'm not even sure tone deaf is the right word.
It might be, because there's just, they've got nothing. He's got nothing. He's got no one signed to any exclusive deals. He's got no TV. He's got nothing.
Well, and that's why I was amused when I saw like TV taping or something like that. Like they have a lineup. A lineup for the TV taping. I'm like, huh? What's a lot? Like, you're gonna pre-tape TV shows then? And then hope that somebody picks it up.
I think we're crossing each other up, but you got like 12 weeks of TV coming, and it's just they got nothing.
But the 12 weeks of TV isn't airing anywhere, correct?
No. It's a pilot. It's part of a pilot package that they're gonna shop around, and they're gonna go jump right into doing their entire first week of tapings is gonna be title tournaments. It's like for titles that mean nothing with talent that has not been exposed anywhere, and so they're just going to jump right into. I mean, I've seen startups do this before. Most startups don't work out at all. Period. But when you jump right into doing like title tournaments before you've established any stars at all or any stories, it never works for many of the startups I remember. You know, I'm sure you've seen a handful or so of promotions come or go off of, syndicated TV over the years. They last maybe 6 weeks, and just...
Well, yeah, again, I guess it just goes back to, like, well, even if he does bring in someone with a name, like, the fact that he doesn't have them signed to that exclusive contract, I mean, what does that do? Like, can he guarantee that they're going to be there?
I mean, he's been main eventing most of, I mean, this is kind of sad. I mean, to get people to his ballpark shows, he's bringing in people like and they're under WWE Legends contracts. You know? I mean, it's just, you know, I think he's used the Young Bucks in a number of his main events, but, you know, their New Japan talent that is, their American work is mostly in ROH. So, they're not going to be on TV for him.
Right.
For ROH. And somewhat, I guess, and New Japan on Access. I don't know, that's a whole different deal, though, because that's, you know, tape shows from, you know, 6 months to a year ago.
Yeah, because those guys aren't, like, I complain about how little ROH uses people like the Young Bucks, and it would be even less for Global Force Wrestling, so it would just probably drive me batshit insane to try and watch this promotion. The other thing that was killing me is that I think it's one of those things that, to me, sometimes the WWE style of wrestling gets misunderstood from time to time, or maybe overstated. Like, he was talking about bringing together all these different, you know, Mexican style wrestling and strong style and English style. Like, the WWE, like, as much as gets made out of the WWE style, they tended not to completely beat out whatever the people were originally trained in out of their system. They tweak it to match the WWE wrestling format more, to me. Like, it's more of a format change than a style change, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, and then you're going to have all these... That's the thing, these are just words coming out of Jeff Jarrett's mouth. He doesn't have any real great, you know, exclusive deal with New Japan. He doesn't have any great, you know, great exclusive deal with AAA. These are all, he's just going to pick up whatever talent, have a free week or free weekend. There is no long-term plan. There is no plan to put any talent under, you know, any sort of exclusive or even like a priority deal with him. It's just, I mean, which I guess is might be okay for the talent. I mean, to have all these options, all these places to go, as long as they're paying.
You
know,
right.
So the talent can truly, the non-WWE talent can then, maybe that's the way it should be. You know, the non-WWE talent is truly independent contractors because no one else can pay them a full-time living, except probably New Japan. But New Japan is also probably, you know, stocked full on their, you know, their Americans right now.
I would imagine, because it does seem like they have an awful lot of them over there.
Right.
Not that I really keep track of the product very well, so I could very well be talking out of my ass, too. But really, Jeff Jarrett is pretty much talking out of his ass.
Oh, he absolutely is. I mean, I guess I gave him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I guess he's got pretty much... The deal is, this is kind of Meltzer speculation, that he's got to get himself a TV deal first, and then Toby Keith will give him the financing. But until Jeff can show, you know, Toby Keith's not an idiot. He's a smart enough businessman. You have to show me something before I invest my money in this.
Right. Yeah.
And it becomes a, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know, scenario.
Oh. Well. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're Toby Keith and you've liked professional wrestling, like, and you watched TNA when Jeff Jarrett was running it, you've just got to go, okay, he needs to come up with something. Like, even if you weren't a complete basher of that product, you know, it didn't go really that far under Jarrett's watch.
No, I mean, you could definitely say it's better than it's been. It was better than it's been in the last, you know, few years, but that's not a high bar to reach.
No, no.
I understand completely. Somebody, your money backer wants to see some, you know, potential for growth here, and, you know, and Jarrett does have to show that you know, he can get them, he can get a TV deal, or he can get some kind of a deal, something that shows that this is more than just another vanity project.
When we first talked about this, like, it's been 3 years since he announced this thing, or at least two. And, I mean, literally, like, a handful of ballpark shows are the result. I mean, if you're Toby Keith, you just gotta be sitting there going, really, dude? Like, I sell out four of those at a time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's plenty of promotions that... Almost every promotion that does as well, if not better than that, when they run the auditorium or the armory. I mean, I don't know what Jarrett was thinking running, you know, 5,000 seat stadiums at this point in global, and without any names
really any advertising anywhere.
Now, I have seen, like, some stuff on you. I guess he does have, in every market, he does get... Well, that's good, at least.
Okay.
But it's obviously not working. But it's obviously not working. It's not being targeted correctly. And just the simple fact that he just doesn't have a product that people want to come and see. Because there's no theme to anything. There's no vision. There's no promises of this, that, or the other. It's just, see these people.
Yeah, and there's no reason to go see Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett in anything. Jarrett is not... He never was that good of a wrestler. Like, that's the one thing... It always cracks me up, too. Like, he's just so delusional about his stature as a wrestler. Even when he was doing good work with China, I'm not sure that he was the greatest thing, you know, or even close to the greatest thing going. Like, he was... probably the worst part of that feud. So, like, his most famous feud that I can name, he was on the bad end of it.
Right. Yeah, he's good, he's serviceable, solid, all those things that you could say about someone. You know, type of guy you could put in, you just kind of plug into to a spot in the card, and, you know, he'll be fine. He won't give you a bad match, but he won't give you a great match or a memorable match either.
Right. Yeah, he's a good guy to have around to help put over new guys and to be in a middle card. And, yeah, that's his ceiling. And, you know, he thinks he's, you know, king of the mountain.
Yeah, he's really proud of that. He's really proud of that gimmick, too. I mean, a reverse ladder match with pinfalls and penalty boxes. That is his great, you know, as far as, like, ideas, you know, for new type of gimmick matches. Pat Patterson has the Royal Rumble. Dusty Rhodes has War Games. Jeff Jarrett has King of the Mountain, the reverse ladder match, where you have to pin your opponent to be able to earn the right to hang a belt up, but if you get pinned, you get thrown in a penalty box for 2 minutes.
It's not convoluted or anything.
No, not at all.
Completely straightforward, easy to understand.
And he loves that match. He's gonna carry that belt around like it actually means something. He really will.
Yeah, and that's always the sad thing about Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, you just sit there and you feel, sometimes I feel pity for the guy. Like, he's that delusional that,
I mean, the thing with Jeff is he grew up in, you know, in Tennessee, around Memphis, you know, believing that that regional territory was never going to come to an end, and one day Jerry Lawler was going to hand him the crown and Jeff Jarrett was going to become the King of Memphis. And that never happened. Partially because the territory went under, and partially because even in the 10, 15 years before the territory went under, Lawler wasn't moving. Nor should he have.
No. He is much more deserving of that that title there. Jeez. Okay, yeah. Screw him. You know what? I'm done. I think I think we've both said enough about Jeff Jarrett and his shortcomings. Now, the WWE has had some shortcomings since the words were first uttered, give divas a chance. I would have to say that the WWE has not done a very good job since then.
No, they have not. They have not, but you could definitely say they are trying now. But what they've got going now, is it the right thing to do or not? I'm actually leaning towards I like what they did. Because they weren't going to fire all the other divas. I mean, the Bellas weren't going anywhere. And I don't think that, you know, Tamina or Naomi or Paige or anyone like that should be, you know, kind of put on the back burner either. Let's mix them together. Let's see what happens.
I think the only thing that's disappointing, well, already to me, is it seemed like this was coming, but this still seems rushed. Because yeah. It was almost still a vibe, because it was Tamina and Naomi and Paige, and there was three on the Team Bella, that those three were going to get together and work out their differences, and there would be some type of a brawl. But I mean, Paige maybe mentioned NXT once, but I mean, it really hasn't been something that's been on the front burner of my mind in this whole situation.
No, I mean, I thought that this was, you know...
I thought it was a possibility. I thought it was a possibility.
Yeah, I actually did think that this was going to lead to, you know, something like this. I guess... There's certainly issues with the way it was done, with you know Stephanie pretty much acting like a gym teacher on dodgeball day, selecting teams for everyone. It was definitely, you probably can say a lot of things about Sasha Banks joining up with kind of being put in the team that she is with
with those other people.
Yes, exactly. but overall, I mean, it was step one of an angle. I mean, once again, you know, people saying, you know, that the Divas Division needed a complete facelift or it needed to be gutted. Maybe I even used those words once or twice, but, you know, thinking about it, you know, it's just, I don't want to see anyone get fired, especially people who were never really given a chance to show what they were doing. They were just in a failed system. So now, you know what? If the Bellas can excel in 15-minute matches, well, let's see if you can.
I guess that's the problem that I'm gonna have with this. Until I actually see the commitment, this is as much gum flapping as Jeff Jarrett is doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that is true. I mean, the big test is, I think, you know, WrestleMania, no tag matches, no gauntlet matches, no multi-way whatevers. Pick two. Let's say it's because they've had, you know, they've got incredible chemistry and a rivalry going in NXT. The NXT Women's Championship, the WWE Divas Championship match. Let's just say Sasha versus Charlotte. 1-on-1. It's promoted as a big match. They're given time. They're given, you know, 12, 15 minutes at least to, you know, have their match. I mean, I'm willing to give it, you know, until then, basically.
You know, yeah.
If this is going to be a process that needs to be ongoing.
Yeah, and that's kind of the interesting thing. The other interesting thing to me, well, you were talking about no one getting fired. I wasn't surprised that everyone that was in that ring, I mean, obviously the three NXT women are fresh. But it's really the other, and I don't even know how, I know that Paige has been around for, what, a little over a year now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's still quite new in the scheme of things. So, you know, they couldn't really poison her at all. But Naomi and Tamina have been around just enough time, I think, to escape the complete whiff of stench on them. But I feel like some of the other ladies... and I'm trying to think of who it is offhand. I probably should have pulled the list up. but I feel like there were some other women left out. Because Brian, there was no way to transition to me into a new type of diva without at least without showing the demise of the Bellas at a minimum.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Nikki's still the Divas champ. I mean, the new girls have to, you know, go over the Divas. And, of course, I mean, thinking of all this is, as long as Total Divas is paying WWE six figures an episode or whatever it is, you know, E is paying them six figures an episode for Total Divas, you know, it can't completely, there can't be a complete change.
Oh, okay, well, Layla and Natty, nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, well, there's gonna...
I guess Rose is really the only other woman that I would say is just kind of dead in the water. Summer Rae has her own spot.
Cameron hasn't been around in months, so I could see her getting... It's not like I think that they should keep everyone around and no one should get fired because, you know, everyone needs a job, but... You know, Cameron has shown no aptitude for this at all. So, you know, she can go. They've given chance after chance to, you know, she can go. You know, Layla's been was good in the late cool years, but, you know, lately, I mean, obviously, she's gotten past that dreaded number of 35, so they don't really use her. So, you know, I still kind of like Layla, but you could probably do away with her.
Right, so I guess there weren't, I was feeling like there were more divas on the roster that weren't out there, but...
there's the nine who were in there. I mean, Natty's obviously going to be involved in something, you know, return, but they've got, you know, she's with Tyson Kidd during the, you know, at least the early stages of his recovery from what was, you know, been described as just a horrendous, near tragic, you know, injury. So, you know, but she'll be back in, you know, she'll be back in the picture. And as I said, the girls like, you know, Cameron, Layla, Rosa, I could see them getting their walking papers. Summer's obviously in the deal with Rusev. They're at least going to get one, you know, mixed tag or something of the like out of, you know, her and Rusev against Dolphin Lana at SummerSlam. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure Summer's safe. And, you know, Summer's from that same not quite that same NXT school because she was brought up before, I think. Maybe even you could argue Paige was brought up before the women's division in NXT was really refined because that really came about in the last year. Even since Paige has been gone.
Gotcha.
Really, just their chemistry together. I don't want to dominate too much here, but
I was just waiting for. I thought you were almost done, so I was just.
Okay. But that's the key thing here: is the NXT women practically live together at the performance center. you know, they can be there all day, all night. So they practice their matches with each other quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
So they don't. So now that they're going to be with you know, these new women, so it's going to be like it'll be a test for them.
Yeah.
The different set of opponents.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, if they again, like it just all goes back to actually getting the opportunity.
Right.
And at this point, if you have 9 women there, like, you've got to dedicate 2 matches per week. Like, it doesn't, right. You know, one can be a tag match. You've got to at least have 1 singles match, in my opinion.
Yeah. You have to dedicate a lot of time to them. You have to start, once the whole, team versus team thing, kind of runs its course, you absolutely have to start establishing, stars in the division. If you believe that, Charlotte Flair's, Flair's daughter Charlotte can be your Rousey, you focus on her. And there's definitely, and because they brought these 3 women up just, from NXT and just kind of were banking on, the audience in Atlanta, having watched NXT and knowing who they are, which... Atlanta gave each of the girls a pretty good reaction, so there's at least half the crowd or more, you could tell, were familiar with them. But maybe if they go to some other smaller market or mid-sized market, maybe that's not going to be as true. So you definitely need to start. They should definitely have some. They've done some excellent video package work on the women that have aired on NXT that you could easily just throw that on Raw or SmackDown. So hopefully they will do that.
Right.
Introduce these women.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting. I don't disagree with, like, the stuff that Stephanie said about all the different women stars is, it's true. Again, though, that they just have such a terrible track record with this kind of thing that I just, I continue to not have the faith that this can happen. I mean, it obviously did happen in NXT.
I mean, this is... maybe the first thing that Triple H and Stephanie have had to actually fight Vince on. And they're not going to be proven wrong about it. So it will get the chance to succeed. I do believe that.
Gotcha. I don't know how much there is more to say about it. Like, I think all of the women are capable of capitalizing on it. I mean, I thought that Brie was becoming a half-decent wrestler until, Nikki became champion.
Yeah, I thought Brie's match with Stephanie was probably the best WWE women's match of last year, without a doubt. Brie was good, but then, they started pushing Nikki as dominant. Now, it'll be an interesting thing if we get into, one-on-one, Nikki versus Charlotte, Nikki versus Sasha. I mean, do they play the game of, Nikki's the veteran, so she gets to, control the match, and, everyone's working that Nikki Bella match. That's, it can be okay, but nothing great. Or are they going to really be able to do that and want to do, the type of matches that happen on those NXT specials?
Yeah.
I think the Bellas absolutely want that. I think they absolutely want, 20 minutes on a pay-per-view. I don't know if they'll get 20, but, cross your fingers with it for a good 10 to 15.
Yeah, and I mean, they have mentioned on Twitter before that, and I feel like I don't know if it was Brie or Nikki, and we've referenced the interview before that they wanted longer matches.
Yeah, they
were jealous of the NXT women because they got them.
Yeah, this is absolutely let's mix all these women together. There's going to be at least a because you got these 9, and then obviously Natty's going to be mixed in, and then maybe 1 or 2 others. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if this is a full time, I was not surprised about Sasha and Charlotte. I was a little more surprised at about Becky Lynch being kind of called up already.
Right.
This is going to be a full time call up for her. I guess you leave Bayley as the event. Obviously Sasha eventually has to drop the championship in NXT, and I guess drop it to Bayley, and then you got Emma and Dana Brooke down there that maybe her opponent's there, which at that point, you know, the quality of women's wrestling in NXT may also possibly drop too.
Yeah, and I mean,
which has been its calling card for the most part, is what really sets it apart.
Well, and but I mean, they're going to need. That's the other funny thing is I know that we've talked about this kind of thing happening for the men, but it's also got to happen for the women at some point. Like, it's got to happen for both of them at some point. Right. Like, yeah, I know that they want to have that viable product to go on the road and everything, but if it's truly a developmental thing and you want people to move along. You know, you can't go, oh, no, they've got to stay here just, you know, another 6 months. Oh, no, they've got to stay here another 4 months.
Right, yeah. And I'm actually kind of impressed with the way they did this. I mean, it's pretty obvious, as we talked about last week. Finn Balor is going to be in NXT for quite a while because they have no one else to be the franchise. And they need, you know, a male star to be the franchise of NXT. And it's going to be Finn Balor, at least for the rest of the year. But the women, while it's been an impressive, a great part of NXT, it is definitely time. It was past time for Sasha and Charlotte to go up. There was nothing more that either of them were going to be able to do in NXT.
Yeah. Becky, I don't know when we first did a show together, but I remember you mentioning Charlotte is the next woman to get called up. And I mean, I feel like it maybe wasn't a calendar year ago, but I feel like it's been a while ago that conversation happened.
It was quite a while ago. Yeah, it's been quite a while since, trying to think, it would have been at least after, because we're about 6 months after she lost the women's championship, and she's just not being brought up.
Right.
Because she kept going back. I mean, on tomorrow night's, you know, NXT show, she's gonna, you know, face Sasha again. You know, it's like, I love their matches against each other, but it's almost like, you know, once again, you know, that kind of spinning your wheels thing in NXT. You know, there's no more growth there. It was definitely. I mean, Sasha, they're obviously bringing her up as a heel, or at least a tweener heel, depending on how, you know, you rate, you know, Naomi, Tamina, gang, but she's obviously a natural heel, and they're gonna play favors. So, but
well, no. You brought up a point that I don't know why I hadn't even thought about it. Was just the fact that the WWE has also just done a terrible job of establishing roles and or personalities for these people.
Oh yeah,
you know, because you were talking about Naomi and Tamina being tweeners, but I'm like, aren't they supposed to be heels really at this point? Like, because even the Bellas had to kind of turn babyface to face them.
Yeah, they're heels when they.
So I mean,
he was the visit of a screw since WrestleMania. Bottom line, hopefully that gets divided before anything else. That needs to get rectified.
Yeah, so I mean, that I guess that's another reason for me to just go. I just can't believe you until you actually execute this in any positive manner. Like you said, like since WrestleMania, things have been completely confusing for the Divas. Like nothing has really made a whole lot of sense. Like Paige found a good bone after being the complete crazy person for really much of the past year. The Bellas turned heel, then turned face, then turned heel, I think? I don't know.
I think they're back to heel. I'm pretty sure they figured out that they're heels, and they've stopped. And at least Nikki has finally stopped, you know, clapping hands with the crowd again.
Yeah, it's just kind of... Yeah, they just need to figure their own shit out first. So it'll be an interesting process. Like I said, like it does really need to take time. Like I cannot expect this mess to be cleaned up overnight. But right. When they made the mess, like again, kind of like Jarrett, like, how do I expect you to clean that up when you made the mess?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's going to take time, and I know there's people, even there's a lot of people who think that, that the NXT women should come up, just destroy the Divas and totally take it over. I'm like, no, it doesn't happen.
Oh.
You have to give people reason to care. You can't just throw Charlotte and Sasha on Raw 1 week and have them go 20 minutes and have, the crowd, totally into it. You have to absolutely build up. And I wouldn't have the two of them go one on one with each other until WrestleMania. I would save that, and I would build it, have one of them be the champion, one of them be the challenger, and I would build that up. Do you know that? Because they can deliver a great one-on-one match.
Well, yeah, but even before worrying about that, I just think it would be better for them. Like you said, it's going to be a different environment that they're wrestling in. And it'd be better. I mean, all of those other divas do have some experience. Whether you think they're good or not is up to you. But just the experience of being on the bigger stage and having big angles, they're going to have something that the NXT ladies don't have.
Right. Yeah, it's... I think they got a good mix of talent here. I think that, we'll see how it all goes. We'll see how it all works. I mean, if they do on Sunday a 3 versus 3 versus 3 tag match, that goes 5 minutes, it's dead in the water. pretty much,
Right.
Nothing's changed. It's just some of the faces have changed, and those faces are not going to be utilized to their fullest potential.
Yep, so that will be kind of interesting, because I don't think that they've actually announced that.
I don't think they have either. I haven't looked at SmackDown spoilers tonight either, I don't know if they're going to run with that match at all Battleground, or if they'll do wait till SummerSlam for something along those lines. We also still have Nikki's, Road to 300 that can't come to a head until September. If you want to go there.
Oh, I feel terrible now.
What happened? What's wrong?
In the almost live, definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw, I got wrong what the pre-Battleground match was going to be. I thought it was going to be Neville taking on, who did he just lose to?
Stardust.
And I go to the Battleground page to check to see if the Divas match is official yet. And I am greeted with the fact that it's actually going to be, where were you? Oh, yeah, King Barrett versus R-Truth is the kickoff match.
For the crown. The winner becomes king. That's an important title on the line. I will be just coming back in town by that point, so I will probably miss that match, unfortunately.
No. Well, you better do unfortunately, since I can see you on video. but for those out there, there are quotation marks around that. This match has been had way too many times, anyway. King Barrett, it was really kind of funny to see him on NXT today. Because they had him on to talk about promos. Still think he's great at them. But again, for some reasons, the decision makers have no faith in him to do anything positive. And he's on a pre-show still, years into this thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's... I don't know who Barrett pissed off, but they obviously still have it out for him.
Yeah, so, okay, there's no Divas match officially yet, and I'm not gonna check SmackDown spoilers, because I don't do that. And I'm trying to think of the other big moments from Raw. Well, yeah, easily the end would be one of them, in which Brock Lesnar has now taken out everybody from the Authority. So yeah, Lesnar has everyone out in the Authority, and really Seth Rollins with his own coup de grace on Kane there at the end of the show. Their writing is just like they've definitely hyped this match. Like it's always strange to me that they seem to have done a good job of hyping all of these matches, but the logic getting there and me caring about the match are like wholly separate objects. Like I feel like I know that Rollins is still like the odds are painted against Rollins. Like he's in a babyface situation. All the
It's
odds
very
are
true.
stacked against him. Brock Lesnar has taken out all of his compadres,
Well,
and he's the last of the Mohicans. And like they're just making this Lesnar win look too inevitable to even remotely, for anyone that's watched wrestling for more than, oh, say, a year, that, Lesnar's not going to win this thing, especially at Battleground, of all places.
I mean, we shall see. I mean, they've definitely done a good job making this feel like the biggest match since WrestleMania, without a doubt. They convinced that. Well, I'm not betting against a Lesnar win. I mean, I could have a good competitive match and with Lesnar winning and. Maybe some other, maybe Rollins gets a new gang, but I don't know who those people could be. I really don't think, really not anyone in NXT who's ready, who they could like a new Shield, quote unquote, they could put together. There's really not anyone on the main roster. I mean, God forbid they put the Ascension in that role,
I think they have been pooped on enough that already within their short careers that they will not be put into that position. Just an opinion. I have no horse in this race, but I don't see that happening at all. Yeah, I don't, and I agree with you. Like, there's no one in NXT that I'm going, oh, they'd be perfect as Seth Rollins' new sidekicks.
Right, no, there really isn't. So it's definitely going to be. I'm interested to see, how this all plays out. How they get out of it. If there isn't going to be a title change, if there is a title change, how brutalized Seth Rollins will be in route to that title change.
Yeah, he's been lucky. He's only had to take one suplex every time he's seen Lesnar.
Well, no, he took three before him and the Authority, jumped on Lesnar and
Oh,
actually
okay.
got one over on him.
Okie dokie. Then my counting is bad. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, it will be kind of interesting. I do want to see what they end up doing. I think that it's going to be something screwbally, but that's just my opinion. Also, and what are the other matches that they're building for? Oh, there are two matches that were tied into one with Big Show, Miz and Ryback for the IC title, which is kind of hilarious. The US title has risen to the occasion with under the tutelage of John Cena. The Intercontinental belt is still struggling because unfortunately Daniel Bryan is injured still.
Right. Yeah, I have this previously about these two matches coming up, where honestly, I turned off Raw during that tag match. I was not going to sit through, you know, these four men having a tag match with each other. You know, I had no interest for this match at all. I mean, this Sunday is a two match show, and it'll probably be two excellent matches, but the road to getting there will probably be dull in certain spots.
Now, would the other match be Bray Wyatt and taking on Roman Reigns?
Absolutely not. Oh man, they've done so much damage to that match, and just Reigns totally with this feud. It's just been really. I kind of like the moment of the lights come on and Reigns is behind Wyatt, and the physicality was good. I mean, I don't think that they'll have a bad match, but the whole story has just been so wonky between the two of them, and it's every Bray Wyatt storyline all rolled into one, and it's just. And Reigns doesn't know how to, you know, really doesn't know how to react to him in the right way. He's not, you know, his acting in this scenario has been, you know, pretty weak. And you know, Bray is still just talking in gibberish. So yeah, I am looking forward to this feud ending, but although I have my doubts that it will end up ending and not carrying on to SummerSlam.
Oh, I would be fairly shocked if this thing does not carry on to SummerSlam. I expect another Bray Wyatt win, for some reason that probably isn't good. I guess I'm trying to think of the other match, they may have set up for Sunday, because I know that you're not talking about, because I didn't even get to the second half of that tag match.
Oh, the triple threat match featuring the three most mismatched participants ever put in a triple threat match against each other, yeah.
No, I mentioned those three. Oh, Sheamus versus Randy Orton.
Wow, like, I already forgot.
yeah, it was really easy to forget about those two.
The show's in St. Louis, I think. I don't remember.
What'd you say to start?
I believe the show is in St. Louis, so...
Oh,
their car will be incredibly hot for Orton, so you know that'll be a good thing, at least for the match, having you know crowd heat. But we've been watching these two have matches against each other for over 5 years now. There's nothing new they can show us, you know. It's just that the face heel dynamic is different then.
I like both of them as workers. I have enjoyed the RKO Vines as much as anybody, but when the best thing about your character is something that some guy on the internet invented, your character is really, really stale.
Yeah, Orton's a guy who will, as I've said before, probably benefit from what Cena has benefited from. That's just getting a brand new opponent. Because now Orton's just going through his same old feuds, you know, multiple times now. And it's just, there's nothing more that these two can do against each other that would really, I'm not even saying that it will be a good or bad match, technically. It actually might be very good technically. But to hold my interest, I'm not sure that there's anything they can do to make me not kind of nod off or start talking to you know my guests about anything else you know going on.
Well, and I'm trying to think of what I was going to mention. That was Seth Rollins was going to be Randy Orton's new opponent, but honestly, they cut that feud fairly short. So, at least in my opinion, like, I know that I think they had two matches, but it still felt unfinished to me. And I know that Rollins Orton beats him, but then Rollins wins the championship. And then Orton, I don't feel like really, I think he did have a chance, but I just still feel like it's a little incomplete. I mean, Orton to me didn't even get a full crack like John Cena has with Kevin Owens.
Right, yeah. I don't really know what to say about, you know, kind of Orton at this point. I mean, the most interesting thing about him is his finishing and when and where he does it. Otherwise, there's just been no growth in his character in years and years and years. Not since he punted Vince and forcibly kissed Stephanie, really.
I did, I guess, stumble upon the other match that is a real match, the second match on the card. If we rewind just a little bit there. And that is Owens versus Cena Part 3.
That I'm definitely looking forward to, although I don't think they've done anything really great with the creative on that. You know, in this build-up, it's just Cena versus Owens 3. They're going to have a great match, just like they've done previously. I mean, the story has been, you know, that Owens is not going to let anyone else beat Cena. And man, was that whole match last an angle last night just weird?
Well, yeah.
Cena's. Go ahead.
Just to talk, to tie it back into the whole give Divas a chance thing. In that, well, just like not having faith in the WWE writing staff.
Yeah.
This match, like, even the second match didn't really have much of a story to it. It was more like, okay, you got a win, and you kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, Rusev has this 25-minute match. He's tired as hell. And here comes this jerk who just wants to fight him immediately. I'm like... And then Rusev actually comes back on Cena and has him in his move. And Cena is not getting out. And then Kevin Owens interferes. It's like, they want Rusev to come out of this a babyface? Because that's what happened. Hell, that's what the booking of Rusev for the last month has done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, is that got screwed up. So, I mean, again, like, if they're screwing up something with the biggest talent, and honestly, like, the most enjoyable matches, like, everyone, like, that was another, the highlight of the night, again, was probably technically the U.S. title match. I know what really wasn't Cena versus Rusev, but the three-way match between Owens, Cesaro, and Rusev was the highlight of the night last night. And those were all, like, all three of those guys are new opponents for Cena.
Well, Rusev isn't. You've already forgotten four pay-per-view main events.
Well, no. But I mean, I know that it's the feud has played out. Like, I don't mean it that way. But I mean, we were just talking about Randy Orton not having fresh opponents. Okay, yes. It ran from, what, February through April, or through May, for Cena and Rusev. But I mean, still, it was a fresh feud that I can name from this year.
Oh, okay. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cena's a great year working guys he's never worked for. He's worked very sparingly. He's absolutely, before 2015, he absolutely has. That's been a big 2015's been a big year for Cena. It's been I don't know if I want to say a comeback year for him, but it's been a year where he has, I think, earned a lot of respect and he's consistently had the best matches every single week. Not this week, obviously, because of the way the wonky angle was. But most
right.
weeks, he's been having the best match of the week, and he may very well have that again on Sunday. Because I could see Cena versus Owens being a better match than Rollins versus Lesnar.
Yeah, just because it's going to have more of a chance to be a match than a domination. Or, you know, some type of other story being told. You know,
right.
Again, like, I still feel like there's going to be some other factor involved. with the Lesnar-Rollins match for it to come about. Like, they haven't hyped it the way they did Reigns versus Lesnar, which was more of a power-on-power, even though everyone, you know, even though Lesnar was the even bigger guy. You know, they at least tried to put Reigns on some somewhat even footing. Rollins has not been put on even footing. Or even, you know, you can even go back to Cena and Lesnar. At least Cena, they kind of showed his power and everything, too. Like, he's another guy that's kind of big. We keep on saying that Rollins is as tall or almost as tall as Lesnar, but just size-wise, he doesn't match up to either of those two other guys either, really, Cena or Reigns.
No, he absolutely does not. It's gonna be an interesting match to watch the two of them. You know, going back to Rollins versus Lesnar, to watch them in a singles match. I actually have pretty high hopes for it. I think that they'll figure something out. I think they'll figure out something with, you know, Rollins being able to, you know, hit and move. I think that it might surprise some people how much how much he takes during the match, how much of the match he takes. I don't think it'll be a 10-minute main event. I'm sure they're going there 20 or so.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Rollins as a wrestler. Like, I don't think that they can't put on a good match. But again, to go back to the booking of Lesnar, like, it'll be interesting what they need to pull out of their bag of tricks to get that thing to that time. But with Owens Cena, they don't really need to result or get to any of those kind of shenanigans. You know, they can just have another, you know, good match. I mean, they've had two of them. There's no reason that this one won't at least be good. It might not. I mean, it's hard to kind of measure up to the other two. They might be able to, but it'll be interesting to see if that happens.
Right.
So, yeah, those are the two matches for Battleground. And, yeah, I'm not sure. Is there anything else to cover? Any little small tidbits that I forgot to bring up? Anything floating around the internet's worth talking about?
Yeah, no, I think we pretty much covered everything that needs to be covered right now. I think we've pretty much dug up everything that there is to talk about. Especially since in my inebriated state, I missed Tough Enough, so we didn't get a chance to talk about that this week.
There was that. I'm sure Tough Enough Talk will be back. I did tweet out a couple of things as I was watching Tough Talk. But, yeah, no need to get to that since you didn't. As I already Instagrammed from @DeFrango11, Sippy Time Beer of the Night for yours truly. I found out that if you're a little low in carbonation, you can shake the bottle and you get a little bit of carbonation. My Black Belt IPA has gotten a second life and will now be served at the wedding, which I am quite excited about.
Awesome. And for anybody who is interested in those type of things, you can follow me on Instagram this weekend at Chris Calamita on Instagram, where I will be going on a self-directed West Michigan craft beer tour of the great state of the great city of Kalamazoo. So I will be definitely taking pictures of my beers and using that Sippy Time hashtag. So if anyone wants to follow that, that is at Chris Calamita on Instagram.
And, for the brand in general, it's at Stunt Granny. You grandkids have a good night.